Hello, how are you, Miss Dawn?
I'm great. I'm so nervous to talk to you.
Don't be nervous. Like you're really nervous. I just got through saying, I feel sorry for y'all. I'm on my period. Yeah, that's all right. I will not bite. I am hungry though. I haven't ate yet today either.
No.
We started off with coffee, work, calls, club bangers, and then right now I'm just like, ah! So, but I shall survive. All right. What are we coaching on? I got my book.
Well, first of all, so nice to talk to you in person, and you do look fabulous. The arms are looking good today.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I'll try to keep this short. I've started doing your the drinking course, the
Yeah.
low decreasing your drinking, but instead of using alcohol, I'm using it to with sweets. Is that
Oh, that's a good idea.
you said in that course, I wanted to look at the wine the same way I look at cheesecake, and I'm reversed. I need to look at cheesecake the same way I look at wine, you
Okay.
know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm doing. I've been doing that for a week and it's going really well. But in the past, my problem has been binge eating. Like I've been a binge eater for like 20 years. And I lost weight, but I'm kind of stuck. And it's because I can't get rid of that like binge eating behavior. Like it'll come back like once a month, you know, I'll just have a thing. And even though I'm really good with like the four basics and I do a realistic plan, like I've given up the restrictive dieting, it's
Good.
still something that kind of pops up. And I just kind of want to chat with you to kind of get some clarity around that and
So
what
what are
I
your
can
thoughts
do.
on your binging? Your current thoughts about your current once a month binging?
Well, I've been doing the TDLs on your course, and the thoughts are kind of like it's only a matter of time before it comes back.
Okay. So that's
And
where we got to clean it up.
yeah, and like I'll feel like the pressure building, like, oh, it's been a week, it's been 2 weeks, when is it, you know, that other shoe's gonna drop things. So if you have any like practical tips of like how can I address this? Because I
Each
know it's
time you think
here.
that, what do you think you need to start doing? Do you believe, let's first and foremost, do you believe those thoughts?
Yes, because I've repeated the pattern for so many years.
Okay, so that's really irrelevant.
Is
We
it?
all used to shit in our pants and we don't do that anymore. Like we were,
Okay.
for 3, 4 years of our lives, we took a dump on ourselves every day. And we didn't tell ourselves when we were 4, like, I don't know, I might shit my pants. I've been doing it for like all my life.
Yeah.
Like, I know that sounds ridiculous. Like, people hear me say that and they're like, well, but we were babies. It's like, yeah, you know what the difference between when we were 4 and when we're, how old are you, Dawn?
I am 34.
I knew you were one of my babies. I'm looking at your youthful glow.
Thank you.
Just all of you, just, oh. Anyway. The only difference between you at 4 and 34 is that you're like sitting there believing your thoughts. You know what a 4-year-old thinks? I'm learning to use the potty. This is exciting.
Right.
I know that sounds mind-boggling to you guys, but that is literally the difference between when you were a child and when you are now. Now you've been exposed to all kinds of thoughts all your life, and you've told them to yourself so many times, you just think they're true. It's like, but for fuck's sake, Corinne, I've been binging like once a month now. I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop. To you, it's repeated so much that it becomes your truth.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing I want to explain to you. And I've been researching this. So what I want you to do is, I know you're using the Mastering Drinking Program. I want you to make sure that you go through next month's Taking Control deep dive.
Okay.
That is the best work that I've done in a long time. And it specifically is going to address where you're at right now. One of the concepts that I want all of you to think about is the difference between a fact and truth. A fact is this is a pen. A
Okay.
truth is this is Corinne's favorite pen. It writes smooth.
Ah, I see.
Now, my truth about this pen doesn't hurt me. So I'm just going to keep doing that. If my truth was this pen keeps me from being creative. That's not a good truth to have about this pen. This pen prevents me from typing fast. So we have to really understand the difference between actual facts in our life, which is you had a binge on date, like, you know, February 3rd. Mm. The truth is, I'm afraid I'm going to have another binge because of the binge on February 23rd or February 3rd.
Yes.
Truth feels so real. And so we have to start redefining what our truths are, but it's really hard to do that when we want to argue that our truth is the fact. This is the evidence. This is what's always happened, you know, and that is the difference between the 4-year-old and the 34-year-old. The 4-year-old doesn't sit there and go like, but my past says I'm never going to be able to use the potty. I've never been able to do it before. Why should now be any different? They just get on the potty and be like, I guess we're doing this. They don't invite the drama. And we have to like go back to that stage. Like you have to take your brain all the way back to, if I was a 4-year-old, would I sit here and like say, this is why I binge? Or would I just say, I'm learning new things. And so if I have a binge, I don't allow that to be like, okay, see, I never will solve this. See, this is evidence. This is evidence. All it means is I had a binge. And then you've got to decide what the truth is going to be about that. The truth could easily be I had a binge. I'm going to continue working on them until they're gone. Hmm. That also could be a truth.
Right.
In the period of not having the binges during that time, you're going to have to tell your brain when it wants to think, it's just been a matter of days. Just like, yeah. And I'm going to keep going and let whatever happens happen, but I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to predict the best for myself. There's no harm in predicting the best for yourself.
Right.
The only way you're ever harmed when you predict the best for yourself is if you decide to beat yourself up when the best doesn't happen. And that part's optional.
So I really need to work on, like you said, like the thought work, just day to day, when it's not like screaming at me, like,
yeah, like I would
kind of builds and builds.
Yeah. Like I would get into a habit of writing down every day why you're not good, like why you are, handling binges like a boss. Like you need to think about, like right now you're thinking about it in a way where like when your mind goes wild on it, it's in control. It has the power. It's scary. It's my demon, whatever it is, right?
Right.
You need to start doing more work on every day, redefining what your relationship with binging is going to be. Binging is going to be with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
A lot of people get freaked out by that kind of stuff. It's like, I was with my friend the other day, she binge eats. And I said, what if it never gets better than it is now? Like, what if this is just how you eat the rest of your life? And I said, here I am. I'm the sweet Lord Jesus. I've come down and said, oh my God, you're going to binge the rest of your life. Now what? And I mean, she was like, what? And I said, let's just pretend it never got any better. Let's just pretend this is your new truth, that sometimes you binge. Then what would you be thinking?
Yeah.
You'd be moving on with your life. You would put less pressure on yourself. It would become normalized. You wouldn't be, and you probably wouldn't be doing it all the time because you weren't afraid of it anymore.
Yeah.
It would just be no more different than, you know, that one day a month you pay your bills.
Yeah, for sure. No, that makes total sense. And can I just ask one more quick question?
Oh yeah.
For you?
Like I'm never in a rush on these calls.
It's a little bit related to drinking. I think over drinking and overeating are kind of, you know, similar. Yeah. How do you release this feeling that, like, for me, and I know it's a thought, but the thought that like nothing is more like relaxing or takes me away like overeating? You know what I'm saying?
That is where that's when you're going to be. So in order to release any kind of a feeling, you have to allow your brain to not, again, have this truth.
Okay. Like, that's just my truth.
Yeah, you've constructed, and like it's no different than my truth around wine is how I connect. Wine tastes good. Wine is fun. Like we can argue that that's a fact all day long, but it's like you have to really understand the difference between truth and fact. Those are not facts because there are people who do not like to drink.
Right.
It is my truth. But is that helpful? And if it's not, then you've got to redefine what it is. So you spend a lot of time repeating that part of the story. It's like, you got to tell the rest of the story. It's like, all of this may be things I think, but like, let me make sure that my brain's getting equal play. Like when you talk about, and food relaxes me, like I would argue with you on that. I'd be like, food is so relaxing. Like people who are truly relaxed around food, you know what they're not doing all month long? Waiting for the shoe to drop with it. They don't think that at all. They don't think food has shoes to drop.
Yeah.
They don't think food is going to sneak up on them and be an out of control experience.
Yeah.
So it's like allowing yourself to be like I know that there is a fun side to food, but then there's all this other side that I sit around and like I'm so afraid of that I'm not just letting myself recognize this is the price I'm paying for telling myself this part of the story.
It was a light bulb moment. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. When did you join PNP?
I joined in January. Yeah. But I've been listening to you. You know, I found you when I was living in Asia and I found your podcast and I was just like hooked. So yeah, thank you so much for everything.
Do you live in the States now?
Yeah, I just moved back.
Oh, wow. So. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm such a redneck. I always find everybody that lives outside the States exotic as hell. I'm just like, wow, I'm international.
You are international. Yes. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Do next month's work.
I'm really looking forward to the course. And yeah, thank you.
It's such a good one. I'm excited. Like I can't wait for us to roll it out. It's really good. And the recovery worksheets are even better. We have two different kinds. So I think we have a new urges worksheet. We have some stuff that's really going to help kind of uncover some of that. And I talk about some of these concepts a little bit more too.
Okay. Thank you. It was so nice to talk to you.
You too. All right. Bye. All right. I think Nikki, yeah, you're next. Hey, everybody. Mel. Oh, Kathy. You're always like raining on my beautiful parade. Kathy doesn't like it when I get compliments. She wants it. I don't think Kathy likes it when I get compliments.
That's funny.
She knows it's going to blow my ego up. It's like, I don't need y'all to help me with that. I got that on check over here by myself. Well, what can I help you with today?
Okay, well, after doing a verbal TDL to my Marco Polo groups about my 15-year-old son's eating and his patterns and how I react to them, they recommended that I sign up for a coaching call. So I don't know. I've been doing some TDLs about it, and basically my poison feelings are guilt and fear.
Well, what is he doing? What is this 15-year-old doing so bad?
Well, he's quite overweight. He gets up at night when we're gone, like we're asleep, and he'll eat almost every single night down in the kitchen, watching like YouTube. So he's very distracted when he eats all the time.
Eating like a teenager.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm supposed to be fearful and scared and guilty, then let me know, because I came down this morning and it looked, I thought, what, did we have a rager? And I didn't know about it.
Every morning I go down and I'm like, what did he, but he'll eat like 6 yogurts and a whole thing of cheese. And just like, I've been trying not to buy like pizzas and stuff like that, because he'll eat those too, like everything that's there. I get that's kind of how they eat, and he doesn't want to make good decisions. My issue is how I react to him, because every time I talk to him about it, I respond in anger. Like I'm trying to tell him, you know, eat, you know, I try to bring up the PNP stuff, eat when you're hungry, you know, stop when you're satisfied, all that. But it I don't think it doesn't come out right. And I'm sure for him, it feels like I'm completely judging him and he shuts down. Like he doesn't want to hear
it. Well, yeah, because you are completely judging him.
Yeah, I am. That's the I am, but I don't want him to feel that way and I don't want to make him feel that way. I don't know how to talk to him about this without fear that, you know, like my poison thoughts are, I have failed him. Like I have not taught him how to eat right. You know, he's never gonna be in a relationship. You know, all this stuff that comes
right. Well, the biggest problem you're running into is you have no business talking to him about his food until his food is neutral to you. You're not like, you're trying to say, like, all right, Corinne, his food is bad.
Right.
He's overweight. Like you have all these circumstances that you're like, I just want to feel better about these crappy ass circumstances I'm judging. But you haven't moved anything out of your C line yet. Like they need to come down to the fault line. You need to come into real acceptance of where you're at right now before you have any business talking to him. Because what is happening is you are judging him.
Yeah.
And when somebody feels judged, like if I came up to you and, or like, let's say like your husband, are you married?
Yeah.
Let's say your husband came up to you and just said, I'm just gonna tell you, Nikki, I don't know what you're doing, but you're overweight and you really need to fix this.
I'd be like, F you, dude.
Or would you run out and be like, you're right. I should probably change how I am. Thank you for enlightening me.
And I think of that because I've heard you say that before. And I think of that, how I talk to him. How do I change how I talk to him? So basically you're saying I have to make all that neutral and just be like, okay with whatever happens. But aren't I the person that needs to teach him how to be? Like,
you can't teach him how to be until you know how to be. Huh. You know what you're teaching him? Like through all your shit, you know what you're teaching him?
What?
How to hide his feelings about food from his mother.
Oh, yes.
About food.
Yes. That's exactly right.
How to worry about what you eat, or how to just be like, fuck you, I'm going to eat what I want. How many of them do that? Like, how many women in this tribe have said, my husband says I should be doing keto. I showed him I ate a cheesecake.
Oh my God, that is so true. That's exactly what's happening. Like me even talking to him about it is him going, well, fuck you. I'm going to eat what I want.
Like I'm 15.
Or fries every day at lunch. You know what I mean?
Because I can promise you a 15-year-old is not thinking about his, like his thoughts about food and whether or not he's going to get married at 35 over it.
Well, I know that's where
that's where you got to shut your shit down, mama. Like all of that. Yeah. Here's the emergency that's in the room.
Yeah.
You're in panic mode and there's nothing to be panicked over.
Okay.
Your son eats. Like you literally need to do models where, what's your son's name?
Sam.
Sam weighs X amount of pounds. How much does Sam weigh, do you think?
I have no idea. I think probably around 300 pounds. Like, okay. I don't know.
So Sam weighs 300 pounds.
Okay.
And how do I want to think about Sam weighing 300 pounds?
I guess it should be neutral, right? But how, I don't know.
No, you don't want to think neutral about it, but you don't want to think judgmental either. You're triggering judgment and shame and guilt. Is that how, when you look at Sam, you want to be like, oh my God, can somebody just platter me up a big dish of guilt and shame? That'll be amazing. I'm sure that this will be great for both of us.
Right. And that's exactly how it is internally. And that's how it comes out to him. Like I'm blah, you know, like, why are you eating this way? And, you know, all that.
Well, here's what I did want to tell you. Yeah. All of this is stemming from some kind, like just fear. And that is because you love him so much.
Yes.
And what I want you to do is I want you to be able to look at Sam at 300 pounds and have compassion and love for him, because a mom who feels compassion and love is going to have a very different conversation than a mom who's scared shitless and guilty.
For sure. Yes. Okay. So how do I do that? Like, so I got to change my TDLs to basically make he's neutral and his food is neutral and what he eats is just a circumstance basically. And
his weight Like you need models where if you're doing, are you doing models too?
Yeah, I have been, but okay. I didn't write one out today.
Your circumstance literally needs to say his weight.
Yeah.
And you need to get to where you don't think that weight is bad.
Okay.
Like you need to think that weight is what it is.
Okay.
And then if you're like, you know, I want to set him up for health, but I will never judge him for where he's at. Like knowing that at 15 and weighing 300 pounds, for him to change how he's going to eat and stuff is going to be a process just like it would be for anyone else. Like, would you want, like, I want you to think about this. Do I ever teach people to change on a dime?
No.
Like if people came into the people that come into the tribe that literally are like, I have 200 pounds to lose, or not 200. Yeah. Well, yeah, we got girls that have 200 pounds to lose. Let's say it's one of our tribe members. Say Sam joined the tribe.
Okay.
And I'm going to let Sam join. And he comes in at 300 pounds. The last thing you would hear me say, they're like, oh my God, now you're broken. We need to like start now. Right. Because that always works. Like ripping things away and telling someone that they're doing it wrong and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Is always the best way to get someone to lose weight. Okay. No, what I would do is I would just like, let's start with the little things. And you don't even have to have this conversation with him. A mom who's patient, compassionate, understanding, and loving where he's at now in his journey. Like loves the 300 pound version of him.
Yeah.
And understands how he got here. It's no one's fault. We're just here.
Right.
That's all that's happening. You know, maybe you should, I mean, like if you want tactics, then you're modeling 2 to 2.
Okay. Yes.
That needs some spot.
I mean, I have changed a ton with PNP. I joined last March and I do a lot of thought work and all that. And my daughter sees it. She's 10, just about 11. And I feel like I caught her at the right time. But Sam, I almost feel like it's too late. You know what I mean? Like that's
my point.
I know. But that's my thought. I'm like, I'm sure because of how I react to him and his eating. So that's why I think that. But yeah, you're right.
Well, that's what's driving your fear and guilt. It's too late.
Yeah.
You need to tell yourself there's plenty of time.
Great.
Plenty of time. Mm-hmm. Like, and like, you need to really believe that. That like,
it'll take some, yes,
well, but the only way that you're going to really believe that is for you to quit indulging in the idea that it's too late and just say like, every time you think that, and he's like, no, he's 15. There's plenty of time.
Okay.
We're doing the right things. We are evolving as a family.
Yeah.
You start slowly changing. Like you said, like you're pulling pizza out of the house. That's fine. But you don't have to do it and just be like, this is your fault. I've pulled pizza out of the house. And if I didn't, he'd just eat it all. Hey, what if you just thought? I've pulled pizza out of the house so he has opportunity to eat other things.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Switch it to positive because I do. But my other poison thought is it doesn't matter what I have in the house. Even if it's healthy, he'll eat a lot of it. Like let him do.
The worst thing that can happen is he eats a lot of healthy food.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what eventually will happen? The more healthy stuff you put in there in junk and the less you like judge him and do these things. Mm-hmm. He'll figure out his own hunger scale by watching everybody else. Like, this is the way kids learn. They do not learn from our words at all. Like, you can talk about it, like, just out loud or what you're doing or whatever. Kids always, I've actually read this in a some book I was reading the other day. This was a couple weeks ago. They were talking about how kids model. Like, kids up until, like, 18 or 19, like, they don't listen to anything, but they are keenly aware. And the reason why they don't listen to things is because
usually
what people say is not true. Like, they'll see moms who will say, like, oh, but you're beautiful. We're all beautiful. We're made in God's eyes. We should never shame our body and everything. Then they'll see their mom, like, go upstairs, come down in something, never say a word, go back upstairs and come down in something else.
Right.
Or they'll see their mom, like, walk by their reflection and go like that.
Yes.
They watch subtle messaging. That's what kids pay attention to. That's how they learn. That's how they pattern themselves and how they're going to think, how they're going to step. And if Sam probably has just watched other, like, maybe your past eating patterns or whatever.
Yes. Well, for sure. That's what it is. My past eating and my husband's current eating habits, because he has not changed anything and is also overweight. So I feel like I feel like that's sort of against me too. Like, he can watch me, but his dad, you know, whatever, but
it doesn't matter. But it, like, your thought can't be that's against me.
I know.
Because
I know
that's going at the root of everything Sam does with food is wrong.
Yes, exactly.
It needs to be like, Sam eats food.
Yes.
And I'm just going to be right there with him. And not against him anymore. Like, you need to tell yourself, I'm not against my own son anymore.
For sure. That's how I want. I want him to feel love and non-judgment, right? I want him to, I don't know. But, yeah.
Well, the best way for him to feel that is for you to quit doing it.
Exactly. Okay. I will. That's my plan.
Yeah.
I gotta work on this, like, making that neutral or making it a circumstance that is going to take me some work in my brain, you know?
Yeah. I would come up with some healthy thoughts for yourself around him when he's eating.
Yeah.
When you see, like when you see you come downstairs and there's lots of food laying around, you don't overreact. You never ask him, are you full? Have you had enough? Like, all that conversation has to end.
Okay. Yes.
He needs to feel free to figure out his own, like, this is the thing. You're overriding his own brain and stomach with your judgment. And you're getting in the way of letting his brain and his body and him trusting that his body will know. His body will know. And you need to like be on the same page.
Yeah.
He will figure out how to listen to his body on his own.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he does tell me, I think he's kind of taken some of it in, because he eats at odd times. Just at school, they eat early, and then he'll eat like 4 o'clock when he gets home, and then he's not hungry for dinner with us. And I'm like, and he goes, Mom, I'm not coming to have dinner with you. You always tell me don't eat if I'm not hungry. So it is that, I mean, he is getting that. It's just, for me, my thoughts are when he's up at night, when we're asleep, is, Sam, you know, like, there's something wrong, but in actuality, he's probably just hungry, right? Because he only ate two other meals.
You need to just tell yourself, he's hungry, and he's going to figure it out. And, like, nighttime eating is not a bad thing, unless you're worried that your mom's going to judge what you eat. And guess what? You eat at night.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to hear her bitch ass talking about it.
Oh, my God, I've caused this too. No,
you don't think that, like, well, I mean, you can think, yes, I've caused this and I am no longer doing that anymore.
Yes.
Like, I refuse to judge my own son around his eating patterns. I wouldn't want anybody judging me. I'm not going to judge him. But that's how, like we learn how to trust our own bodies, is when we're allowed to be able to just eat without emotion. You know, and it's really hard to not emotionally eat when someone is sitting there priming you to be emotional.
Right.
You know?
Oh my gosh. Yes, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said, just let him be.
Let him be. Yes. Yes, I will.
In fact, my son's eating right now. Like, for the third time today, I think. Second or third. I hear him in there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. This is good. Thank you. I appreciate this. One of my goals for 2019 was to actually get a coaching call, because I've never been on any coaching calls. So,
when did you join? March of last year?
March. Yes, yes.
You're fixing to come up on your anniversary.
I know. It's coming up. And going to April camp, and both of my Marco Polo groups, almost all of them are going. So this is going to be awesome.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Poor Marriott. They're just champions. Probably gonna go under every time we. With the more Marco Polo gets a part of our nucleus, it's like champions.
I know. I don't know if we can handle all this. I can't wait. So it's gonna be great, and I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, lady. Bye.
Bye.
Kathy Mellett's like, oh my God, my son's 47 and overweight and I've been judging him forever. I did not even realize it. Need to do a model. Thank you so much. You're very welcome. All right. Who's next? Kat. And then Boss Hoss. I'm going to assume you are Deanna Hunt. You're up next. Hey.
Hi.
How can I help you today?
How are you? It's good to be on here. I'm so nervous. I'm like hyperventilating.
It's okay. Just we'll make it through. I haven't bit anybody yet.
Okay. So first of all, thank you so much just for being you and doing everything that you do. I joined the tribe in September, and this is actually the first it's the first coaching call I've ever done. Actually, the first one I've even seen live because I work, and so I'm almost always listening to the replays in my car. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, it's cool to like see everyone's face and everything. So, I've got a lot of crazy thoughts going up here that, I kind of want to trying to put together in like a coherent, way. But, so all of my life, I've basically been overweight or too obese. And before I even knew what a why was, my why has always been someday I'm going to lose weight because I want to be skinny and pretty.
Okay.
And those words have always been synonymous. So, you know, just like I'm going to get skinny and I'm going to get pretty. And so like in elementary school, I was obese. In high school, I lost a little weight, gained a little weight, college, lost a little weight, gained a little weight. You know, it's been the cycle. And my goal weight right now, I'm 203 right now, and my goal weight is 135 because that's what I weighed when I graduated college. And so far, since I've joined the tribe, I haven't lost any weight. However, I'm really okay with it because I have done a lot of really amazing mental work within myself. So I'm happy with that. My biggest thing right now is that I'm starting to think that maybe weight loss is not really my problem. It might just be like more of, how do I say it? Like almost like a guise, because one of the things that I've always had like very low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. I've never thought I was pretty. I've never really liked myself. And that's one of the things that from joining the tribe, I've really started to try to learn to like, just, I mean, I have journals from third grade being like, I hate myself. I'm so fat, blah, blah, blah. Like, I've never been as mean to another human being as I am to myself.
I feel you. That's how I did it for years.
Yeah.
Well, there's hope for you.
Yeah. So like, you know, I've been journaling and I try to write like, you know, like, okay, write 5 things you like about your physical appearance, 5 things you like about yourself as a person, you know, and I'm doing really well and until I get to my face. And
you don't like your face?
I hate my face. I don't find myself attractive at all.
Well, you know, being thin won't change your face.
That's the thing. And that's like right now, I was listening because I have a problem with binge eating, and you did a call with somebody that struck me, that hit me so deep. I don't remember who it was. It was several months ago, but you asked somebody like, would they rather figure out why they're, or would they rather continue to binge but not gain the weight? Or would they rather figure out why they're binging? And like, I was in the car and I was all like, hell yeah, keep binging. Don't gain any weight. That's awesome. And she's like, oh, I'd like to know why I'm binging. And I was like, say what? Like, why the hell would you want to do that? Like, and it kind of like, I mean, and not saying anything bad to her. Like, she really helped me and you really helped me, like making me think like, well, why do I binge? And so like, I realized losing 70 pounds is not going to solve this problem. And I asked myself, like, if I thought I was pretty right now, mm-hmm. would I care if I weighed 135 pounds? And the answer is no. Like, if I liked my face now, I might want to lose like 20 pounds, maybe 15, because I don't really mind my body that much. It's just, I keep thinking to myself, like, I'm going to lose this weight and I'm going to be beautiful and I'm going to love myself.
Let me ask you this.
And it's
that's a big problem right there. One of the biggest problems all of us do is we think that we're going to attain some goal, and that goal is what triggers all the thoughts and the feelings. Mm. And it's like the only way to get to that goal is to have the thoughts and feelings ahead of time to create the goal.
Yeah. And I've tried to do the thought downloads where, like, my circumstance and being like, my circumstance is like, I have a face, you know, I guess. And the thought, I understand that, like, my face is ugly is a thought that I have. But to me, I think I've felt it for so long. It's like, if you told me to start thinking that the sky was green instead of blue, like, it's not blue.
Yeah, well, here's...
It's not green. So right. It's like, but this I don't think I'm pretty. And I understand, like, it's a thought and I need to change it, but I don't know how.
Yeah, you kind of jammed up a little bit. Well, we're back. You're fine. Okay. The problem is that you're running into is that you're going to need to talk about your face the way you want to feel about your face for probably 6 months before you believe it. You're wanting to think about your face the way you should think about your face, and you want the feelings now. They're not coming. I think your internet connection.
I think my internet's kind of paused.
Until she, I'm going to mute her and then let her buffering catch up. You're just got a bad connect. Oh, here we go. So here's where the work for you is. Are you willing to tell yourself something that you're going to work on believing until you believe it and until you start feeling different and stuff? Or are you going to not do that because you just think, well, what I've been thinking is, like, the only way to separate from your truth is you have to have a competing truth for them to fly in the face of each other. And there has to be absolute total discomfort. An argument into your brain will have to argue. Right now, the my face is ugly side is very deep rooted. It does not mean it's the truth. It just means it's very deep rooted. So as this new one's coming in, it's like the new girl at the party. Nobody wants to talk to her right now. You have to keep inviting her in. You have to keep doing it. You have to every single day. It is going to be like you're literally changing who you are.
Yeah. And that's, I like to think that I'm willing, but I just think that like inner little mean girl is just always going to be there. Like, I'll be like, oh, I'm pretty. No, you're not. Like, yeah,
but that is exactly what's supposed to happen. Like you're like, but she's going to be there. I'm like, of course,
yeah.
Probably for 20 more years. She being there isn't the problem. That's what most of you, like, that's where your biggest thought error is. You think fat girl thinking is the problem. It being there is the problem. It's not the problem. You thinking it has to go away is the problem. It's very irrelevant. It's like...
So I just have to... I'm sorry, I'm moving around my house because I'm trying to...
No, you're fine.
Get better internet. I don't know why. For some reason, my internet just suddenly shut off.
So what was your question? Oh, shoot. Until she comes back, let me say this. What has to happen, guys, is that when you're trying to change two, really, like when you really want to believe one thing, like, this is what I want so bad. I want to believe I can lose my weight. I want to believe that I'm pretty. I want to believe that one day I'm going to feel amazing about myself. Mm-hmm. And you have, but here's where I'm at. And I talk kind of terrible and I don't have the results I want and everything. You have to go through the middle part where you have to think about this part. It will not feel productive. It will feel like a waste of time because your mind, as bad as it feels over here, it just wants to hang on to that because it feels safe. Because it's all it's ever known and talked about. It doesn't mean you need to stay there. So you don't need those thoughts to go away. You don't need them to quit coming into the party. You need to quit letting them make you feel bad because they're there. That's all that has to happen. It's like, I get it. Like this morning I woke up and I was like, I started my period and I'm up 4 pounds. I'm always up 4 pounds the day of my period. It's like the magic number. And the first thing I started thinking about was like, you look terrible today. You know, this is going to be a long day and all this other stuff. And I could have just bought into it all. Or I could have just said, and that's all that shit you always think every single time.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah. I just think like, I think one of my problems is I might just look too externally for evidence. So like, I mean, I don't like, you know, I don't want, nobody's ever like been like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. You know, I mean, I guess I'm not like, I don't know. I have like a friend who's really gorgeous and people just tell her all the time, like, wow, you're beautiful. You have beautiful eyes, like everything. And I guess like, obviously the average human being doesn't get random people just saying, oh, you're beautiful every day. But like, because I don't ever get that, it's just one of those things where like, you know, I don't know.
Well, somebody, there's like two or three people in here. Let me ask you this. So we have like several people over here that commented while you were talking. Trudy Johnson, Jerry, and M. Coco. They all talked about how beautiful you are and what a great face you have. So that change everything? Feel better?
A little, not really. I mean, a little. Thank you to you guys. I appreciate it.
That's nice. You know, but at the like, yeah. Are you like, I'm fixed now?
it's one of those things where like you just think to yourself like, oh well, they're just saying that to be nice,
right? You know? That's the problem. Like, yeah. You don't believe it. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what other people say. Your beautiful friend, you don't even know what she thinks on the inside.
No, that's true. I've never asked her.
Let me tell you, people tell like hell today to people tell me all the time how pretty I am. I probably have 1,000 thoughts a day that rip me to shreds, at least 1,000. Yeah. I've had thoughts on this call. I see my arms moving. I'm like, oh, there's a spot. Like it's always running around in my head. And yeah. People will tell me stuff all the time. But the difference is that I'm like, oh, that's just the way it is. It doesn't mean I have to feel bad because I think that. It's what I always say, just because you think something doesn't make it true. It just means you thought it.
Yeah.
And until you make it true, this is the magic. When you start really understanding how to separate out your thoughts, you don't feel bad because you notice a thought before you attach a feeling to it. Right now what's happened is you're thinking things and you just think they're true and then you just feel bad and you're just like, but this is just how I am. This is just who I am. I'm just that girl that sits around and thinks she's ugly.
Right now I am.
No, I don't want you to- are not. You have to say that. Like, no, that is me. I am. It's like, no, you have to sit around and think, I am someone who has thoughts like this. Period. Because if you keep owning the persona of someone who's ugly or who believes they're ugly, guess who you will always be?
That person that believes she's ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. And I promise you, you'll lose weight and you will not feel pretty.
And that's what I've realized. And so that's why I think almost makes me wonder if that's the reason I've struggled so much with my weight, because like deep down I know like, I'm just telling myself, oh, you're going to get skinny and you're going to be pretty. But then deep down, I know like that's, I might get skinny, but like I need to change my thinking.
If you think, let me just tell you, if you think in your core that you're ugly and you keep trying to tell yourself that weight loss means I'll be pretty, but now you're really ugly, you'll never apply yourself in the weight loss.
Yeah.
Why would you go through the pain of losing weight? Why would you give up food you like? Why would you like sometimes sit with an urge and stuff if there's no true payoff?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Weight loss doesn't make any of us pretty. You know what makes us pretty? A belief that we're pretty.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. It's It's just, I guess, practice, lots of practice.
I just want you to realize that pretty is on the feeling line. It is not a circumstance. I think a lot of you get that very confused. Pretty is a feeling. Thin is a feeling. Fat can be a feeling too. Like, those are all feelings, all generated by how we think about a human body.
So,
go ahead.
If the circumstance is my face and my feeling is pretty, then what would my thought be?
Take a wild guess.
I'm not sure. Because I thought that my thought
this
would
looks
be
pretty. Good today.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I look good today. Yeah.
Yeah, I look good today. I love how I did my makeup today. I love my face when it's natural. Like, whatever it is. But I, like, you need to have pretty. You need to have, like, feelings that will generate you feeling pretty. And it doesn't need, and if your circumstance is going to be face, your circumstance could be other things that will also generate pretty. We'll have pretty souls, pretty hearts, pretty attitudes. Like, I think you need to do some work around just you as a human feeling pretty, and not even so much pretty, but worthy.
Worthy is definitely a, worthy is definitely a big word for me. So
go through the, so I did the self-love course last year. Did you do that one?
I haven't done it yet. I'm doing courses slow because I want to process them.
That's fine.
So I've done a couple other courses, but no, the self-love one, it's been on my radar, but again, that's one of the ones that I've just had a block towards because it's like, I know that's going to be like a whole circus, you know?
Rather than having the thought that listening to the modules of self-love is going to be a whole circus.
Yeah.
What if we just said, I'm just going to listen to the audios. I got time. That can't hurt. Yeah. I don't have to do all the workbooks and stuff. I should just listen to the audios and see what I pick up.
Yeah, I could definitely do that.
Because I'm going to tell you, like, there's a reason why, like, when you say it's a whole circus, there's a reason why you're picking the very one that's probably the most important for you to work on. I'm taking it slow. I'm doing all this other stuff. Like, if you don't believe you're pretty, guess what? You're going to do the ones that aren't going to lead you to where you want to go first.
Yeah.
What would you say?
My dogs are barking. I'm closing myself.
There's also a book called Mirror Work that a friend of mine who has a lot of issues about body image highly recommends. I have it. I just haven't looked at it yet. It's by Louise Hay. 21 days of looking in the mirror and having to say nice things to yourself.
Oh, wow. That sounds intimidating, but Mirror Work. I'll definitely look that up.
Look it up and just notice when you think something sounds intimidating, it's exactly where you need to be.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to tell you guys, sometimes for some of you, I'm always like, don't be in a hurry to lose your weight. Because you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're doing it to create a feeling in yourself. I would much rather you guys like learn how to like yourself, learn how to feel worthy and stuff, because then when it comes time to do the weight, you're doing it because you love yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's like you just throw kerosene on the fire of weight loss. It suddenly becomes easy because you've gotten out of your own way. When you try to lose weight because you don't like yourself and you want to create feelings, it will feel like work and pressure and white knuckling and shitty all the way down.
Yeah. And that's how it's basically felt for forever. So that's why I'm trying to dig a little deeper and figure out like why I'm really doing this.
Have you done the Fat Girl Thinking module yet?
Mm-mm.
Module 4?
Wait, in the BS, yeah. The no BS? Yeah. Well, I've listened to it. I don't think I did any worksheets, but
before you do self-love, I want you to do the worksheets in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want you to listen to self-love. I just want you to tackle those two right now.
Okay.
But do the worksheets of module 4. And then I want you to do the self-love. Like, I think that will help you get some relief from your own brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can pick whatever else you want to work on after that, but you'll be picking it from a very clean space versus avoiding work and doing it from a, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do work. Let's just do work, right?
No, I agree. I want it. I mean, I want, when I do start to lose the weight, I want it to be like forever. So, and I know that my mindset as it is not setting me up for that. So that is why I kind of want to get this mindset right before I really, really, really start into the weight loss.
Yeah. So. I think it's a good plan, Mama.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Bye.
I'm looking for Deanna Hunt. I'm going to assume that's Boss Hoss.
Are you Deanna?
Yes.
Okay. Ma'am. Just want to make sure I had the right person. Sure. All right. How can I help you?
My husband left, I guess about 5 months ago. I guess, you know, you talked about a lot of it with the last caller, with the competing thoughts. But I guess that's where I'm starting is, you know, I have the model that I'm thinking now, which I guess the circumstances that he left.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. And
what's your thoughts about him leaving?
I didn't want him to. That's pretty basic, but so it leads to a feeling of
why didn't you want him to leave?
It was all very sudden. It wasn't anything that I knew leading up to it. So
yeah,
I was quick on crying, but
it's okay.
Everything was very sudden. So I wasn't expecting it. So I guess that's why I didn't want him to.
So if it had been really miserable, it would have been okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
What I want you to see is that you think you're in pain because it was sudden. And so you're allowing yourself to do that rather than figuring out why it really is painful.
Okay.
It being sudden isn't why you're so upset.
I guess it's a lack of control is part of it.
So if you had it been like, if you had it just woke up that day and just said, all right, I need you to get out. I have this feeling you might be leaving soon, so let's just end it now. That would have been better?
I guess I have a thought that it would be.
Did you love him?
I guess it would have been my idea instead of his.
So if you had been the dumper, it would have been fine.
I don't know. I've never been the dumper.
But this is what I'm at. Like, I want you to figure out why it hurts. Like, you're dancing around the topic of why it hurts. It's like, oh, well, it was sudden. Well, it's because I didn't do the breakup. Like, is that really why you're upset? It's because if I had to just drug it out and then I had been the one to cut the cord, I'd be fine. Like, his ass, I didn't really love him anyway. I just don't like the way he did it.
No, I love this because I still love him.
That's the parts we want to get to. This is where the pain is. When you're sitting around and indulging in some idea that if this breakup had happened on my terms, then you're never really doing the work around why am I in so much pain? So tell me about him. Why did he leave?
He's kind of going through his own identity crisis of some sort.
Okay.
Then he just says he has to figure out on his own, and he like completely left town We had planned kind of to slowly move to Galveston together, but we were already going to be kind of separated for a period of time. He was just going to kind of go down there and get stuff set up. And then the day he was leaving, he said, well, basically, he's just leaving.
Okay. And what do you make that mean about you?
Well, at the beginning, there was a lot of, you know, I drove him away. I wasn't enough. There was a lot of that. I've listened to you for quite a while, and I tried to work through a lot of those thoughts, and told myself those were just thoughts, and I've worked through a lot of that. And so I know those things weren't true.
Yeah, because he left because he wanted to.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that has to feel good, but it also doesn't mean it was your responsibility or your fault.
Okay.
He wanted to leave.
Right.
And he has his reasons, and that's why he's gone. And if you want to miss him and stuff, that's great. I just want you to legit grieve it.
Okay.
And not fake grieve it by saying, well, because it happened this way, this is why I'm in so much pain. It's like, no, I'm in so much pain because I loved him. If that's the case.
It is.
Well, what do you want help with?
I guess just, I didn't know, like, I thought I needed to, like, I don't know how I want to feel.
Like, well, how do you want to feel? Is he coming back?
I don't know.
Do you want him back?
Yes.
So you would take him back?
Yes. And there's part of me that, you know, thinks I'm stupid for that, but I just kind of.
Why would you be stupid for taking back someone you love?
Because he hasn't handled things well. And, you know, from the outside, you know, he doesn't communicate well and he still tries to keep up communication, but he'll just, you know, a one word text here and a, you know.
Okay, but you love that about him.
I don't love that.
This is what. Do what?
I don't love that about him, but I love.
Well, now this is where you need to do your work, because you're convinced you want this person back. And it's like, but I would like to really have, like, here's the, like, you. This is where we get real honest about somebody that we love, okay? You need to have your working list of the things I don't love about this person. In your working list of all the things I do love about him and the things you don't love, this is how you know when you're ready to take someone back if they want to be back in your life. And you don't do it from being desperate because you're hurting.
Right.
Okay. Because the easy thing, he's going to be a snack. Let's pretend one day, I'm not kidding. I had a snack one time. My ex-husband was a snack. And he was like this guy. Up and left, cheated on me once. I mean, it was just like, it was so sudden he cheated on me. It was so sudden that he left, right? Well, he also was a snack because I was in so much pain over losing him and being afraid I would never meet. Of course, I was like 20 fucking years old thinking I'd never meet anybody in my life. I made it mean things about my body. I had all this hurt going on. So when he wanted to come back, for whatever reason he wanted to come back, I hadn't done my work on what I didn't like about him. So that I desperately was trying to get out of my pain and took someone back that I didn't really, really want. And I'm not saying your husband is someone you should or shouldn't be with, but you need to know what you sign up for with him.
Right.
He does one word text. You need to love that about him.
Okay.
You don't get to change that. That's who he is. Whatever else it is that you're like thinking about him, it's like, well, these are the parts I don't want. Then you need to like say, like, okay, that's who he is. Because when you do that, then you can like start thinking about the parts you're actually grieving and the parts you're actually missing. And it's like, you know what? Maybe it wasn't as great as I thought either. And that releases a little bit of the drama for you. And then if he ever decides, hey, Deanna, we should give this another go, you can be like, I'm all in. I've done my work on you. And I know that it comes with you being someone who doesn't like to communicate as much. And I know that it's, you like one word text, and I'm never going to put those expectations on you ever again. And let's do it. Or it's going to be like, you know what? No, I've done my work on you. And here's what I think. I want to be with someone who wants to talk to me more. I want to be with someone who has, who's just different than you. We can both just move on now. So you get to do that from that clean space. It's very hard to do that though, when you think everything should have been different. Yeah. And that's where I'm seeing you, like, not look at your situation. Like, here's just the way it was.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Cause that's kind of how I wanted. I was like, I want the ability to think of him as, I guess I want the confidence or to know things weren't perfect, which I know, but to know things weren't perfect, but to still have the ability to take them back if I want to without feeling stupid.
Well, you get to do that. Even if, let's say you do none of this work, you get to take him back without feeling stupid 1 ounce. Seriously. You know what the worst thing that'll happen is? He'll come back and leave again. He's already done it once. You've already proven you can handle it.
Okay.
And that's what you need to be in your space of right now. It's like, he's already left once. I'm already dealing with this and I'm surviving just fine. Right. I may be hurting. I may be crying. My heart may be hurting and stuff, but that's called being in relationship. There's no guarantees.
Right. Okay.
And I just, you know, when it comes to this kind of stuff, I always like to ask myself, like, if you had to do it all over again, knowing everything that you know right now, would you have married him?
Like, I knew I was going into it, so yes.
Do what?
I knew a lot of it going into it, so I can say yes.
So if you knew he was going to up and leave and he was never going to be a long texter and he was going to just like not tell you that he was out of here and all this other kind of junk, you'd go through all of that again, same exact end result.
I don't know.
That's the question to be asking yourself. Because if you don't know, you need to ask yourself, why don't I know? Because whatever is like, because if you're not a hell yes, then it's like, well, there's a lot more there that I'm like, Don't fool yourself into thinking that he was the one. He just was one. Just be honest, because like if Chris and I'm going to tell you right now, if something happened between me and Chris, like he could cheat on me. He could tell me today that he's been with women and I would do it all over again in heartbeat. And I would go through all the pain because of what our relationship has been. That doesn't always mean that that's the case. Like with my ex, like had I, like if somebody had asked me, well, knowing what you know, and I loved him, Deanna, like, I mean, loved him. Like, sad love. I would have been like, well, no. It's okay. Always just a good question to ask yourself. Would you marry him again if everything was going to be the same and you and someone showed you the movie beforehand? Like before you guys met, they showed you the movie of your life and be like, you in? If you're like, no, I'm not, then be honest about why you're not. That's always really helpful. So that if he wants to come back, that movie is likely to play out again. Because his character is not going to change. Okay. The only character that can really change is your character. Your character shows up different, like either more accepting or okay with who he is, all that kind of stuff. Or your character changes and is like, it's no longer tolerable. It's not how I roll.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's basically one of the big reasons I joined was, you know, I mean, the weight loss is a goal, but this is the thought work and self stuff is more of a deeper goal.
Yeah, there's I think just doing some downloads on would I do this again, what I loved about him, what I don't miss about him. Like if I wasn't hurting, here's the things I just don't miss. Just gives you like, I always like to do a lot of things around like if I wasn't hurting right now, like if my brain wasn't in the way, this is what I would say. My best friend would tell me about like what I should do. Like I love like, because there's no right or wrong in any of it. What those questions do, and this is really important for all of you, is when you just ask yourself questions like that and you write, it allows you to look at your problems from a whole other perspective. Sometimes you'll be like, oh, that's bullshit. And sometimes you'll be like, oh my God, I would have never thought of it had I not just asked my brain to think about it in a new way.
Okay.
I think you'll be fine. I really think you'll be fine. You need to start telling yourself, I'm going to be fine. The worst that can happen is already happened.
Yeah.
You're doing it, mama.
I know.
All right. You post in the tribe. Do you ever post in the tribe?
From time to time.
We have a lot of women. We have quite a few right now going through all kinds of marital things in the same boat as you. Women who have like the end of relationships, husbands running off with other, like we had somebody the other day, just find out somebody's been cheating on them. You have so much support in that tribe. It is such a good place for on the days when you feel like ass to just post in there and just be like, I'm feeling like the ass about my marriage or my husband not being here, or whatever. Just hearing other women going through it or who have been through it on the other side. I always find it very comforting because it can feel lonely as fuck when you're going through it.
No, I know. And I guess when I get outside advice or anything, it's just always, it's all man bashing basically. Yeah. Like it's like, nobody really sees it the same way. And so that kind of gives me, I don't know, then it just makes me feel like I'm not, you know, looking at things, I guess, logically or.
Here's what you can think about. You can, first of all, you can always post and say, I'm not looking for man bashing. And you're not going to get as much of that inside the tribe. Like you might get that in a lot of other groups, but in our groups, you know, usually we're like, here's your thoughts. Like we always want to blame you more than anything. It's like,
okay.
So there's always that. You can just put in there like how you're honestly feeling and just saying like, I just think my thoughts and stuff are confused right now. Or I don't know if I'm thinking about this logically right now. I think I am, but I just want some help. You know, here's how I want to feel. Like if you put that out there, our girls are so good about knowing the difference between like, they'll roll with you. If you're ready to like, on the man bash train, they're like, toot toot, let's go. If you're not, they're like, let's model, let's look at the thoughts, let's take ownership of our side. They're always willing to meet you where you're at on that. And the other thing too is just to remind yourself, like, everybody's going to have opinions,
right?
When you put your post out there, you're now their circumstance. So always remember that whatever they're saying is not truth. It's their opinion about what they're reading through their own lens. So just because they have a different opinion or whatever, that's where I like to think of as like, I am collecting data. Okay. This is all a bunch of data that I can collect and I can see what lands and what needs to be thrown out.
Okay.
And that's always helpful for me too.
Okay. Like putting it in terms of data makes sense because I don't know. Even though I'm kind of up and down scale-wise, I can look at it as data, and I'm not emotionally attached to that.
Yes. There's no sense in being emotionally attached to anybody else's thoughts either. Their thoughts are your circumstance. Your post and your thoughts are their circumstance. We all get to think whatever we want. And I just like to always like take other people's thoughts and opinions in. And I don't make them mean anything. I curate the best and what feels right. And then I move forward in my own stuff with that. Like my friends tell me shit all the time. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I'm like, no, yeah. That's not good for Queenie. But I don't make it mean like, oh my gosh, you know, maybe I'm not thinking about things the way I should. So don't ever do that. Just always remember, you get to think and feel however you want. It's all you.
Okay.
All right, lady. Thank you.
Shout out to Beth and all the ladies from the Binge Content Not Food group.
Oh, there you go. We have so many groups. It's almost hard to keep track of all you guys. All right, well, you have a good one, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. All right, everyone. That is a wrap today. Y'all have a good one. I'm going to see y'all twice tomorrow. So tomorrow is the Tribe News Show. So I will see you at, I think it's noon tomorrow, and I'll be going over all the exciting things happening in the month of March, which we have good stuff. And then I will be, what is tomorrow? Hang on. I think tomorrow is Success Stories, actually. Facebook Watch Party, Tribe Success Stories. Kathy Hartman tells me we have a good one. So I will be in Facebook at 6 p.m., and we will be playing the video of all the success stories that talked about accountability groups and how they use accountability and stuff, like bosses, we like curate videos and stuff. And so I'll be watching that with you guys tomorrow night at 6 in the Facebook group and commenting and answering questions and anything else that you need there. So that's it. I hope y'all have a good one. I'll talk to you later. Bye, y'all.